Welcome back to another episode of the CTV Show. A little later on in the week than normal. We're recording this on a Friday, which is kind of nice. Both Kat and I had pretty busy weeks. You were in Pittsburgh for the Cowboys and the Steelers, and I was actually at the Vikings-Jets game in London, England. So two pretty crazy weeks we've had, but we're back for another show. We're going to preview the week ahead. Kat, how's it going, man?
I mean, it's going great, Pac. How was Blokeville?
That's what you call it?
Yeah, Blokeville.
It was great. I would love to go back. London's a beautiful city. The people were great. The fans were outstanding. It was just a cool environment to be. I mean, there were a lot of Vikings and Jets fans, but you see one of every single team's jerseys. Just so many people just so excited to be out at a game. It was great. I had a great time.
Now, I got to ask you, were there more local fans or Americans traveling over to watch the game there?
Like, there were the odd. I think the people we were sitting beside were actually from Minnesota, and there were a couple, like, New Yorkers. We actually sat on the Jets sideline, so there were a couple New Yorkers ahead of us. But majority of the people were, you know, from England, London. There are actually a lot of people from Europe, too, because it's, I mean, Europe's very quick to need.
Yeah, you
get
can fly for, like 20 euros.
We met people from Germany, from Sweden. Like,
nice.
I mean, we always do that post every year on our Instagram where it's like, you know, tell us where you're following us from kind of thing. And we're always blown away by, you know, the fact that people follow us on Instagram from all over, you know, Europe, South America, sometimes even places in Africa, Asia. But to see it firsthand, to see how, like, global the game is really becoming, because we know how big it is in North America, but to see it in Europe, so many European fans excited about it. Obviously, it's not the most popular football there, but it's definitely gaining some steam. So it was one of those very, very unique and cool experiences. Like, who knows if I'll ever, you know, get to go to an international game again. So it was a great time.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's funny that you put that into perspective, because we're sort of in a bubble here. We're like, oh yeah, we know how big football is, but you don't understand. Like you mentioned, you say that that post we do on our Instagram story or Instagram feed and just the comments in general, but to go see that in person is probably a whole different level. Just like seeing how global the sport is, and considering that a lot of Europeans are also soccer fans too, it's cool to see like the reach that a sport like football is gaining in such a short period of time, right?
Cool to hear them use like European soccer terms. Like they call like a game, like they call it like a fixture,
like a match.
Or, oh, look at their upcoming fixtures, instead of like, oh, look at, you know, the Bears next
the
five
schedule.
Games. Yeah. Or you hear them say like, oh, you know, he's in really good form. Like we went to the press conference and everything there, so we were with pretty much the UK media, like,
yeah,
all these people that are, you know, from London, England, that cover the NFL there is their job. So it was a really, really cool experience. Met a lot of great people. Who knows? Maybe we'll have them on the show. I would love to, you know, keep in touch with them because they were great. Not to steal any of your thunder, though, no pun intended there, because you were at a pretty wild Sunday night game, which, me being in England, I tried to stay up to watch it all.
I was sleeping.
I tapped out at halftime. It was like 5 a.m. in England. And I had a flight the next day. But how was that?
It was great, to be honest. It was a beautiful, beautiful day all day, right up until about maybe 5 minutes up until the national anthem. I swear, they were getting ready to go into the middle of the field, sing the national anthem. It was a beautiful night. Everyone was at their seats. Boom, the PA comes on, storm in the area, take cover. This game is now on a weather delay. That's exactly verbatim what they said. I'm like, what the hell? Where's this storm coming from? Whatever. We're thinking it's going to take 20 minutes. It'll pass over. We go. We get into the concourse. I have never seen rain so hard in my life.
Oh, so it was really
It
bad.
Was like a monsoon. It was, oh my, I thought it was going to get delayed. I thought it was going to get postponed, sorry, to the next day. I'm like, this is crazy. This is not going to stop. The thunder, the lightning, it was ridiculous. And honestly, it made the environment even better, because by the time the game started, everyone was sardines, drinking nonstop, just trying to pass time. It was so rowdy in that stadium. Considering the game ended at 1 o'clock in the morning, it was one of the best, if not the best, atmospheres of a football game I've ever been to in my life. It was awesome. It was so loud. Two very historic franchises. Obviously, a little bit better for me because the game winning touchdown, walk-off touchdown, I should say, happened right maybe 50 feet in front of me. So that was cool to see. I got it on video. But it was an awesome, awesome game. We had a great, action-packed weekend.
And the rest of the football was like one of the, I mean, it's been a rough start to the season, I think, for the NFL, especially those first 2 weeks where like every single quarterback was barely throwing over 100 yards. Yeah. Last week, every single game was great.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter the time slot. Every single game was great. And even that one came down to the wire. During the delay, was it absolutely loaded in the concourse?
Because I
went to an outdoor game, NHL, before, and it was like minus 25 outside. And in the intermissions, because it was so cold, the concourse was just so loaded.
So you went to Pittsburgh before?
Not Pittsburgh. This was in Ottawa.
Same thing, though. Yeah, it's the same concept. Yeah, like
I figured, like, where does everyone go?
There's no inside area. Like, unless you're sitting in, like, the club sections, you can go underneath, but... Like, we were sort of just, like, huddled in because the end zone areas, like, aren't covered, right? So it's only the sides that are covered. So it was... And the rain was, like, coming in sideways. So, like, you were getting wet regardless, right? You were getting soaked. And we saw Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg was there. He was able to go into his little limo there for some coverage. I was very jealous of him. But, I mean, it was great. It was a great game. I'll go back. Easy drive for us. Like, it was, like, 4.5 hours.
That's it. Much,
yeah, 4.5 hours. We left at... 8 o'clock in the morning, maybe a little after 8:30, and we got there right as Scott Hansen was saying, hey, 7 hours of commercial free foot. We got into the hotel right as that was happening.
I always assumed it was
It was easy, all highway.
But anyways, let's talk about some upcoming football, and we'll start with one of the biggest stories right now around the league, and that's Davante Adams. The Raiders receiver that only wants to play with Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr. That's what it feels like at this point. There's a bunch of teams rumored to be interested. The Steelers are a very intriguing one. The Bills, another intriguing one. But right now it feels like the Jets and the Saints are the two front runners. Specifically, the Jets want to get him, and Devontae wants the Jets. He wants to be reunited with Aaron Rodgers. Of course, Robert Saleh is out there. They have been quite a disaster so far. One other report that I did read is that the Chiefs so far have been the best offer, but the Raiders just don't want to trade him within the division, which makes sense. Where do you see Davante Adams playing by the time the trade deadline is all wrapped up?
Honestly, this is like such a weird situation because I feel like the best fit for him is Kansas City, right? As much as he wants to go to
you don't think Buffalo? The Jets...
I don't think Buffalo wants to go down that route of trading for another receiver again. I just think it's something that, who knows? If I was Buffalo, I would trade for Davante Adams. There's no doubt about it. But I don't know, just with the way that the Diggs thing happened, I don't know. Maybe call me crazy. I don't think Buffalo is as interested in Davante Adams. Now, this could change, but I think their interest is like driven a little bit more so by the media than their actual team. But that's also me talking like just without any sort of like report or anything. It's just my gut feeling. But again, going back to what I said, I think the Chiefs are the best spot for him and can offer the most for him. But there is no way this guy's getting traded to KC. It's impossible. And if he does, they just... The Raiders should be disbanded as a franchise. I know they just moved to Vegas, knock down the stadium, and just get rid of them. Because if you do that, that's like the dumbest thing you could have done. You already can't beat Mahomes. Now you're going to give him Davante Adams, and you're going to say, okay, here, yeah, you can have him, and you won't ever beat him again, right? Now, I think this is going to be a situation where you're going to see them suck a bit on both ends. Like, Davante Adams is going to be a baby. He's going to be like, oh, I want to go with Rodgers. I know he can't necessarily force his way in, but... That mixed with Aaron Rodgers sort of, I mean, seemingly getting what he wants. He came out and said, oh, I have utmost respect for Robert Saleh. He said the same thing about Mike McCarthy, right? Yeah. It's typical Aaron Rodgers. He just wants, whatever he does in or thinks is the way, and it's either his way or no way. So I think he's going to end up in New York. I think it's going to be cool. It'll be again, I fell for the Jets trap this year.
Again,
they're awful. I did second year in a row. They're a terrible team. They're going to go nowhere, even if they get Davante Adams. But who knows? At least he can go reunite with his buddy Aaron Rodgers over there.
It feels like he's going to end up in New York, but it's also a situation where, like, I don't know. Does that solve all their problems overnight? Maybe. We have to see what they look like under a new head coach. We have to see what they look like with a new play caller. I don't really know what Nathaniel Hackett's job is there anymore now that he's not calling plays And I mean, he's not like, is he really the OC?
Like, what's his job? Like, what is he? What does he just go to work and like,
I don't know,
practice?
It sounds like they want to fire him. Instead, they just demoted him, I guess.
Which goes to show you exactly why it's Aaron Rodgers running the show there, because that's Aaron Rodgers' boy. So he's probably like, okay, Sal was about to fire him. Get Sal out of here. You could at least demote Nathaniel Hackett, but keep him involved. I don't know. Weird.
It's a weird scenario. I don't really understand the New Orleans Saints thing, just because, well, now Derek Carr's hurt. He's going to miss two, maybe more games. The Saints have kind of fallen down back to earth after two unsustainably great games to start the season. They're now below 500. That kind of feels like a lateral move from him to go to the Raiders, to the Saints. So that leaves us all with, like, I would love to see him go to Baltimore, just because adding more receiving help for Lamar, I think, would go a long way come playoff time. But also, it just doesn't feel like there's any real suitors that are coming. Like, Pittsburgh, is he really want to go play for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Is that really going to work? It just feels like he's going to become New York Jet. It's not just like when, it's not if, it's when.
Yeah, I could probably get behind that. That's why I'm so frustrated with, like, if Dallas did, like, what they should have done this offseason and just shored up their team a little bit to like make them somewhat real contenders this year, like that would have been a perfect addition for them. I don't know. That it's so frustrating now seeing a guy like Davante Adams on the open market, which apparently is only going to take like a third or a fourth round pick to get.
I think they want a second, but
they're not going to get a second.
I don't think
they won't. Considering he's like technically on a 1 year deal, like, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to get it. But again, it's kind of shocking though how little how there's such little suitors for a guy of Davante Adams' caliber, right? I don't know. It's a weird situation. I don't know when he's gonna get moved. Heck, it could be closer to the trade deadline.
He's also injured too right now. Or exactly, is that injury just more so?
No, but that makes it complicated too. No, it's a real injury. Yeah. For sure it is. It's 100% a real injury. Like the NFL trade deadline, I know they moved it. When is it? It's right. When's the actual?
We got
date?
About 3-4 weeks.
November 5th. Yeah. So you got 3 weeks, right? Like, are we seriously gonna have to wait 3 weeks for Davante Adams to get traded? We might have to, right? I don't know. I have no idea if the Raiders really are milking this and like waiting for the best possible offer. That best possible offer might come on the deadline when they really can't do anything else, right?
We'll see. Something to monitor. It definitely doesn't feel like the last time we'll talk about Davante Adams on the show.
Definitely not.
We're going to move on to some early season award talk. The Bears are rolling. They've actually gotten better in each game. Caleb Williams is heading into London this week to take on the Jaguars. And the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels, has been one of the biggest stories of the NFL season so far. The Commanders are 4-1, and they have a big, big test up against the Baltimore Ravens so far this season. Jaden Daniels has definitely grabbed all the headlines, but the last couple weeks, Caleb Williams has gotten better and better and better. Is the offensive rookie of the year already Jaden Daniels to lose, or does Caleb maybe have a better shot than a lot of people are giving him credit for?
I definitely think this is a little bit closer. Obviously, Jaden Daniels has just been remarkable to start the season, but Caleb Williams has quietly had a pretty good last 3 weeks, right? And I don't want to dip too far into that Colts game because the Colts game was a little bit weird. I know he had his two turnovers. I thought he had potential to play a little bit better. He did end up throwing for 360 yards. But I really liked what I saw from Caleb Williams this past week against Carolina. Now, I know it's Carolina. I get it. It seems to be everyone that plays Carolina tends to have a week where they perform above their expectations, right? And now, if Caleb Williams was a vet, maybe that doesn't really change my opinion on him. But for a rookie, having a game like that and using that as a stepping stool, I think could only benefit you in the long run, right? I think you're going to start seeing Caleb Williams do Caleb Williams things, right? Be more comfortable in the pocket. Trust his eyes. Trust his arm. Not try and do too much. Because there are, again, let's face it, this offensive line is not very good, right? It's was a weak point before the season. It's a weak point right now. But Caleb Williams has to just understand that he's not going to be able to overcome his offensive line shortcomings by using his legs and trying to scramble. It's not college, right? Just stay in the pocket, get rid of the ball early and quickly. And I think you saw that against Carolina. Incredibly efficient. Even the week before, incredibly efficient. 17 for 23, 20 for 29. Like, that is great completion percentages, 69%, 74%. Like, that's what you want to see. You want to see, you don't need necessarily deep shots. You got to just take what the defense are giving you. Trust the pocket and just get rid of the ball. Now, is that going to be enough to ultimately get you in the offensive rookie of the year race, especially with Malik Nabers there, Jaden Daniels there? I don't know. But it's interesting to see. I mean, Malik Nabers hasn't been playing the last 2 weeks, but you look at his 17-game stretch. If you took his average, I added this up, and it's absolutely mental, right? Nabers, obviously, it's hard to do this because it's not sustainable to just keep this up for a year. But a 17-game stretch, Malik Nabers, if he averages what he has in his first four games, I know he just missed the last week, and he's going to miss this game too, but 149 catches, 1,600 yards, and 13 touchdowns. Like, that's like top three receiver numbers right there, right?
Maybe even better than that. Yeah, like, I don't think anyone expects him to keep that up. But also, my big thing when you look at an award like this, just because of how the league is nowadays with the marketing and how they sell their product, Puka Nacua had an insane season last year. I know CJ Stroud was very, very good, but Puka Nacua broke records,
yep,
and he still didn't win Offensive Rookie of the Year. So maybe it's just unlucky where he was so good in a year where a quarterback was also, I mean, immediately we're all talking about CJ Stroud, like this generational player after one season. Maybe it was a bit of bad luck, but also just proves that no matter how good you are as a wide receiver, that quarterback is always going to have an upper hand. And I think we're seeing it again this year where, like, Malik Nabers looks really, really special. There's two quarterbacks right now that are trending in a direction where it feels like maybe it's more of a two-horse race between those two. And I also think Caleb's going to continue to get better as the year goes on. And, I mean, Jaden Daniels, you were pulling up their upcoming schedule. There's a lot of games in there where we kind of felt you can, I mean, the game has to be played, but we were marking them as a win. And I think the Commanders can go on and win 10, 11 games this year.
I don't think that's crazy to say either. I mean, this is a good football team, first off, and they also have a pretty favorable schedule, right? And again, everyone likes to go, oh, Jaden Daniels is only good because he's playing so-and-so. It's like, well, again, he's playing on a schedule. Like, you can't use that as a plus. You can't use that as a minus. Like, that's just what happens. You get scheduled games and you play what's on your schedule. You can't pick who you're playing, right? And he's got a big game this week, so sure, you want to use it as a prove-it point? Go ahead. But this is a guy who's had a fantastic season. Like, we're talking on pace to have just a remarkable rookie season. He's type a CJ Stroud type season. And that was crazy because a year ago it was like unheard of for a rookie quarterback to have the success that CJ Stroud did. And I like how you brought up Puka Nacua, because assuming that, obviously, in a perfect world, Malik Nabers doesn't go down, I think you could have seen a type of race that we had last year, because that was an awesome race. Like, that was such a cool thing to see. Like, two rookies, two different positions, just completely balling out and both having real cases to win that award. I thought it was remarkable. And who knows? We might even see it again this year.
To me, I mean, I would push the entire rookie of the year thing aside. When I look at the MVP right now, and I know Mahomes is the betting favorite, and I understand why he is, just because of the record that they have and because his name is Patrick Mahomes. But I think if I'm handing out the MVP award today, I have a hard time not considering Jaden Daniels, and I feel like he would probably be my runner-up. I think only Lamar right now, with the numbers that he's put up, with the types of wins and the performances that he's put together, especially that comfort-behind win against the Bengals, he's probably my MVP. But Jaden Daniels has just been phenomenal so far. And the fact that they face off this week in Washington, a big, big test for the Commanders. Two of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the NFL right now. This is far and away the number one game of the week.
I don't see how it's not, to be honest. I think this is everything that the NFL fan eats up. Like, this is, you got bona fide two-time MVP Lamar Jackson and, like, Lamar Jackson light, right? Like, that's what it feels like. Like, you average Jaden Daniels is, I said I hate doing this. I'm doing it again. I just did it with Malik Nabers. But his averages, you want to use that Monday night game against Cincinnati as like the starting point. That's like really when he showed the world, like, this is who I am. You take those stats from and stretch them out, you're looking at 35 total touchdowns, including 23 passing, 12 rushing, and 5,000 total yards. Like, that is no joke, right? Obviously, again, you're expecting his season to go ups and downs, but just the ability to show you that it's there is remarkable. And this is coming from a Cowboy fan, but Washington has been through so much garbage, right? Dating back from the RG3 days to Mike Shanahan just completely ruining his career with his knee and all that, going through just, I mean, the Dan Snyder stuff. Like, this is a franchise going through a total sale, a rebrand, three times they rebranded. Like, this is a franchise that has done so much, and they've stuck by their team the whole time, right? Like, the whole time. We know Washington fans. There's a ton of Washington fans that follow us. Like, they have been by this, their side the whole time. So, to me, obviously, as a rival, I'm like, damn, we're going to deal with this guy for now 12, 15 years. But it's good to see, finally, Washington having some guy that can just will them to victory each and every week. It's not just a crapshoot every week, right? Like, I think it's needed, right? And it's a cool thing how it's sort of like just a new era, right? New owners come in, boom, right away, Jaden Daniels, let's go, new era of Washington football. And I think it's cool to see.
I think that's why I like it too, and I understand the Stroud comparison, because it's happened to two franchises that I feel really, really deserve this, a new guy to come in and just really breathe life into an organization that has just had a very, very tough time as of late. But looking ahead to Sunday, who are you taking to win? Lamar and the Commanders. But looking ahead to Sunday, who are you taking to win? Lamar and the Ravens or Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders?
This is a tough one, man. I'm going to get cut up for this, because this is what now, the second straight or third straight week where I've picked against the Commanders, and I'm just still, I don't know, maybe it's different. I'm still just expecting them to, like, show me that, okay, it's still a young team, it's still a rookie quarterback, and I'm more than happy to be proven wrong, right? I just don't know if I can take a rookie quarterback going into a very hostile environment, a team that's been there so many times, and just win. Again, I would be so, so impressed, and it'd just be another just sort of monument that they can overcome in this immaculate rookie season. Can I see it be done? Yes. But in that same breath, I'm going to take Baltimore here. It feels like a team. I said it a couple weeks ago. They're figuring it out. I think they're starting to figure it out. They have an identity. I know you alluded to Davante Adams going there. I don't even think they need Davante Adams, because, again, I don't think that's in their identity to need an alpha receiver like that. I think what they have works, and it works well. They're a well-coached team. Defense plays as a unit. It's a tough place to play. I got to take Baltimore here.
I think this is one of those performances where I know he's already had, like you talk about that Monday Night Football, he put a stamp on the league. I think this is one of those opportunities again where he continues to show everyone, like, it's a crime that this game's on at 1 p.m.
Yeah, it,
but
it is
a crime. I think Jaden Daniels is going to march into Baltimore, and I think he's going to get it done. They just look like they can be had a little bit on the defensive end. They haven't quite figured it out. They've left it in Lamar's hands too many weeks in a row now. The way the Commanders are playing, and I think on both sides of the ball, they're incredibly underrated. I think the Commanders have a real, real shot in this one. And I think it's going to come down to the wire, but I am going to pick Jaden Daniels. There it is. Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels, the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. That is our Tick Pick Game of the Week. The best place to buy NFL tickets with absolutely zero hidden fees. Make sure to use code CTB20 at checkout for $20 off your order. And that's it. One of the best matchups of the week so far, with two MVP frontrunners. It should be a good one. But this brings us into our next segment.
You want great seats like this? Look at this view. Look at this view. Come on. Tell me you can't get better than this view. And you could only get that on TickPick. I'm telling you. Unless you want to pay $400 extra in fees like you got on StubHub and all those garbage ticket apps. No, TickPick, using code CTB20 at checkout, gets you seats like this. And then you could even, maybe, who knows, maybe you can watch your team walk it off in opposing territory and wave to the fans like I was doing on Sunday night. Even though I'm not all back in. Everyone's like, oh, you're all back in the Cowboys. No, I'm not. We're going to get killed against the Lions this week. But we'll go on. You know who else is getting killed, though?
You are getting absolutely killed.
I don't even think killed is
You've never had a year this bad. You're 2-6. I'm 6-2. And I'm just absolutely rolling. And again, I think it's my turn to pick first. But out of sympathy, I am going to let you have the first pick. But once again, this is our spread picks sponsored by our friends over at PointsBet, the official betting partner of the CTB show. If you're the ultimate competitor, you know the value of a home field advantage. And at PointsBet, that advantage is yours with top-notch customer support and easy deposits. Come make your picks with us on PointsBet. We've got our parlays every Monday night. We've got Cats Cover 5 every single week. You can tail them directly on the app and make sure to use code BLITZ when signing up. 19 years or older, and please play responsibly. Cat, the time is now. You are 2-6. You need to rescue this god-awful record because you're getting embarrassed by me in the wins column.
You said tail me on the app. It's more so fade me.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I actually think our Monday night parlays haven't been all that bad.
Yeah, we hit one. We both have hit one.
Both have hit one, but yeah. So
you know what? Our points bet picks, well, your points bet picks have been good. Mine, different story. But that changes this week. And it changes with the red hot Jacksonville London Jaguars on the money line. It's minus half now. It started at minus 2.5 Chicago. But give me Trevor Lawrence and the London Jags. No team travels more to London than the London Jags.
They're there 2 weeks in a row.
Yep. Right? Yep. They might as well get real estate there. They might as well have a practice facility. Maybe Trevor Lawrence, you know what? Maybe Jacksonville isn't for you. But we'll relocate you to Blokeville, and you'll have a great career there. A fantastic career there. Jacksonville money line. Like I said, London's team. Caleb Williams as a rookie traveling overseas. I just don't see him getting settled in here. I think it's one of those games that, you know what? It just feels weird. It's a lot, right? It's a lot. The time change for a team that's never done it, for a guy that's never done it. Caleb's going from being predominantly on the far West Coast, going all the way over. I know he hasn't been on the West Coast in a while, but like, again, it's just not, it's not home for him, right? It's unsettling. And meanwhile, Jacksonville, they've been there. Like you said, they're there for 2 weeks. They're there for 2 weeks last year. This is a team that knows how to win in London. Give me Jacksonville. Give me Trevor Lawrence. I think Jacksonville wins outright. That's why I'm taking him on the money line for my first points bet pick of the week.
I mean, everyone was panicking about Jacksonville starting 0-4. I think they're going to be 3-4 coming home from London because I think they're going to win next week too.
Yep.
So I like that start. Once again, you're 2-6. So how much do I really like it? Man, I got a bunch of different options. Fun fact about my picks too. I have not had a 500 week yet. I've been 2-0 in 3 weeks. I've been 0-2 in 1 week. And we also missed a week. So, man, the one thing this season that has been the theme throughout the entirety of it so far is that big spreads have had a very, very hard time. One, winning outright, and two, covering. Call me crazy. I'm going to take a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels going into Baltimore. They're plus 6.5. Give me the red-hot Washington Commanders, my favorite story of the NFL season so far. They've won 4 in a row. They might just make it 5 in another impressive one, but I'll take the 6.5 points because this just feels like one of those where there's a field goal attempt to win it, and Lamar and JD have this great meeting in the center, and it's definitely not the last time we're going to see these two guys play.
Wow, you know what? That was, look, I was coming to the show as I thought Baltimore was going to cover easy, but maybe you have me swayed a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to take them out right, but the 6.5 might feel like a little bit too many points.
I think teams that have been 7.5 or 7+ against the spread favorites are like 2-9 outright this
year. Yeah, I know.
Something wild like that. Well, there was a stretch of
like 2 weeks where big spreads like were losing outright. Yeah. Like they got smoked. I think there was 1 week they were like 0-5.
Yes.
Right? It was brutal. Like, it's been brutal to these big spreads. I think it was week two, right? Because I was like, it was the Cowboys, yeah, was the two, Bengals, yeah. Right? There was a lot of upsets outright on those big spreads this week. But I'm going to, again, I hate to do it, but you know what they say, Pac? You don't bet with your heart, you bet with your head. And I know that the Cowboys are the worst defense when it comes to stopping the run and who runs the ball damn well. Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions, who are one, pissed off because Dan Skipper reported as eligible last year and they lost the game because of it. And two, they're here to take over. They want this game bad. This is not just another game for them. Now, this is where I see Detroit versus Cowboys. I'm going to take the Lions at -3.5. Why? not only is it an awful matchup on paper, but this Detroit team, it's a must win for them. Not because they need to win because they're not going to make the playoffs or anything. Because, like I said, Dan Campbell has these guys playing as a revenge game. These guys cannot walk out of AT&T Stadium again with a loss, right? After what happened last year, they are not doing that. And Dallas, let's face it, they're totally competent with going into the bye at 3-3. They got their must-win game in Pittsburgh last week. I think this is going to be a game where, heck, it might be in the third quarter, a three-point game, four-point game, but I think Detroit ultimately pulls through in the fourth quarter with that time of possession. I think they're going to win comfortably 7 to 10 points. Cowboys remain banged up. No Micah Parsons, no DeMarcus Lawrence. It just feels like one of those games where it's not only just, not only do the Cowboys don't have the firepower to sort of fight back, they just don't have the personnel that matches up with this Detroit Lions football team. So give me the Lions -3.5.
Another pick I like a lot, and the Lions are getting healthier, and I think the main reason why I like their run game specifically to succeed in this one, it's a great matchup. Dallas has struggled against the run this year. But all-pro center Frank Ragnow, who went viral a couple years ago for a crazy eye injury he was playing through earlier this year. He told Jared Goff in the huddle that he thinks he tore his pec. He's already back and off the injury report, which is usually a season-ending injury. I don't think it was a fully torn pec, but it was a pec injury, which immediately, I mean, makes me think, hey, he's going to miss, you know, 8 weeks, maybe even more. He's already back and playing, which is just insane. For my last pick, I'm really tempted to take the Browns +9.5 in Philly just because these big spreads have been covering. But I also think this is, I mean, Philly's gotten healthier. Lane Johnson, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, they're all going to be back. This feels like the final nail in the coffin for the end of the Deshaun Watson era in Cleveland. Like, how much longer can this go on for? If Philly gives them a proper beatdown, which they need to do, I can see that happening. So I'm not going to touch this game, even though the trend says you should. I'm not going to do it. The game I'm going to go for is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into New Orleans. They're -3.5-point favorites. The reason I love it, Spencer Rattler, his first start against a underrated Bucs defense, a team that is coming off a week with a better rest differential, having played on Thursday Night Football. The Saints playing on Monday night. It just matches up perfectly. Yes, the Bucs are the road team. They're also playing with some adversity. It's tough situation right now in Tampa Bay. So, you know, our heart goes out to everyone affected by that. The reason that this scares me a little bit is the old Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore drama that unfolds always, every year.
Always.
But with how good Baker Mayfield has been playing recently, I like the Bucs to win this one comfortably. And Spencer Rattler, yes, he might bring some excitement in New Orleans, but it is a tough matchup in your first start to play a divisional game against a team that's just humming along and playing some really, really good football so far. So there it is. I'm taking the Commanders and the Buccaneers. You've got the Detroit Lions and the London Jaguars. Those are our week 6 picks sponsored by our friends over at PointsBet. Once again, make sure you bet with us on the app. Use code BLITZ when signing up. You can see us on Monday night. You can see it. Cats cover 5, which actually does have...
I don't know why. I don't know how that's good, but this stinks.
Your podcast picks suck.
Because you want to know why? It's, we usually do it on the Monday, and then by the time of the end of the week, I go, I hate those picks. Why did I take them?
Yeah. That's what the reason is, for sure. Anyways, there it is. Thank you for tuning in to our show once again. If you made it to the end, make sure to like, subscribe, rate us on whatever podcast platform you are listening on. And we will see you early next week. Back to our usual schedule.
See you guys.